Well, let's go to the word of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14. Folks, I'm excited about the revival this weekend. Amen. I believe it's going to be a great start to the fall season. And I want us to invite everybody we can and just let the Lord have his way. Be praying, of course, fasting tomorrow. And let's be expecting something great to happen this weekend. Proverbs 18 and 14, the spirit of a man, I'm sorry, I pulled up the wrong notes here. Let's get the right ones. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Sorry about that. Thank you. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Amen. I'm just kind of continuing on these subjects that we've been looking at on Wednesday night. Tonight we're going to look at what should we believe about sickness. What should we believe about sickness? Most of us have experienced sickness at one time or another. And what's the Bible say about it? What should we believe about this? Let's look at that tonight. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Archaeologists have done extensive studies in remote areas of the world, and they have discovered that every culture in the world has placed a great priority on what's called the healing arts. No matter where you go in the world, there are those who have treated sickness and have studied for ways to prolong life and bring healing. In our culture, we say that doctors practice medicine. And that may sound a little comical at times, but it's true, because many times there's not one specific way to cure a sickness or disease. And doctors can prescribe what they feel at the time is the best likely treatment. If that doesn't work, then they could come at the sickness from a different angle. And sometimes there's several remedies that are tried before there's an acceptable outcome. And sometimes doctors do their best, but they just don't know what to do. I'm very thankful today for the caring and the wisdom of our medical professionals. And we have those in our church that serve in the medical field. We value your service, your expertise. However, little newsflash, as a pastor, I am not a medical professional. All right? And I don't pretend to be. I'm a pastor. So I'm not going to tell you tonight what your doctor would tell you about sickness. I'm going to stay in my lane, and I'm just going to tell you what a pastor should tell you about sickness, okay? We are thankful for the development of science, but there are many things that we just haven't figured out yet. And so we recognize tonight that we have a magnificent creator who made our bodies. He gave us the breath of life. He knows exactly what's going on inside of us. And he has the power to heal, the power to mend what's broken and to replace what can't be fixed. He even has the power to bring the dead back to life again. In modern times, faith in the healing power of God has been somewhat downplayed. And there are a lot of people who, they recognize the fact that healing happened in Bible times, but they're hesitant to believe that it could happen in today's church. Jesus paid the price for our healing long ago, and that payment is still good today. The number one answer for all of our problems, whatever they might be, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He is the source of all healing for sickness and disease, no matter how big or small. The Bible talks about how he's our great physician. He's our counselor. He is able to heal any issue, any sickness, any disease. Our text that we read tonight, Matthew 4, 23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That says he healed every kind of disease, every kind of sickness. There was not one condition that was too hard for him to heal. God is able to do it. Amen. That's the first thing we need to believe when it comes to sickness and disease. Jesus Christ can heal any sickness. He can heal any disease. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too small. He cares about your needs. He cares about what's going on in your body or your family, your life. And when we pray for healing, we are operating in the authority that God has given us as his disciples. So what should we believe about sickness? Again, I'm not teaching tonight from the latest of medical research. I'm teaching from the Word of God. And so as a pastor, I'm declaring that what we should believe about sickness is what the Bible says. What the Bible says. When it comes to this need in people's lives, the number one question that people ask is, why am I sick? Why am I sick? Why is there sickness? Where does it come from? The basic answer to this question is, it's actually very simple. Why are people sick? Ultimately, it's because of sin. Oh, Pastor, so you're saying if I'm sick, it's because there's sin in my life? That's not what I'm saying. Our sin, it can open the door for sickness, but it may not be any sin that we've committed. Before sin, in the Garden of Eden, there was no sickness. Everything was perfect. But when sin came into the world, it brought about sickness. So it may not be that someone personally has sinned, but the reason why sin is in the world or sickness is in the world is because of sin. It brought sickness into the world. Remember when Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda and he healed a man that had an infirmity for 38 years. That's a long time. And then John 5 and 14 says, afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So here we see that Jesus acknowledges there is a connection somehow between sin and sickness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul's teaching about taking communion. In chapter 11, verse 29, he writes, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. In this instance, they were not discerning the Lord's body. They were not giving the proper respect and recognition to the Lord's body and the sacrifice that he had made for them. And so Paul says their sickness was connected with that sin. Now, we also know from the Word of God that the sins of fathers can be passed down to future generations. Isn't that interesting? That some of the things that we go through today could be the effect of generations before us and generational curses. Like it or not, it's in the Bible. And so if you feel that may be the case, let's pray against those. Let's ask the Lord to break any generational curses off your life and family. Another place the Bible deals with this is John chapter 9, verse 1. And Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. So obviously the disciples had been taught that sin causes sickness, and so that's why they asked the question. And that's not what Jesus was saying here. He was saying, in this instance, this man's parents' sin, it was not the cause. Now, Jesus didn't say that sin doesn't cause sickness. He was just saying, in this situation, this wasn't because of sin. Okay? It was so the work of God could be shown. So, unfortunately today, there are many who believe that the healing ministry of the church ended when the 12 disciples died. That is not biblical. We are an extension of the early Testament church. We are disciples of Jesus Christ even today. And there are many eyewitness accounts in this church sitting here tonight. Eyewitness accounts that have seen all manner of sickness and all manner of disease healed in the name of Jesus. We know that the power of God is a real experience for the church today. I'm thankful for that. Praise the Lord. Luke 9 and 1 says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." That is what we are called to do today, to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. This church should be a hospital for people that have all kinds of problems. Sickness in their body, trouble in their family, situations in their finances, people that don't know, they can't find hope, they can't find healing for their heart. They can find it here in the presence of Jesus Christ. Still, there are those even in the church who have the perspective that, you know, yes, God does heal sickness, he heals disease, and yes, God does it today, but for some reason they think, well, God doesn't want to heal me. I know God heals, I know God's able to do it, but he just isn't going to do it for me. Well, let's look at what the Word of God says about that. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him." Can you just imagine that? "Saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." I want to tell you today, God is willing. God is willing. We're going to step out in faith. We're going to take him up on his promises tonight. We're going to believe that God is willing to heal any situation, any circumstance, that God is able. That is the foundation that we've got to have when it comes to sickness. God is able to do it. God is able to do it. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. There is not one sickness. There is not one disease that God cannot heal. Praise the Lord. Now, we read tonight in Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. "And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers disease and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them." Another question that goes around and about sickness and disease is someone might ask, especially when you read a verse like this, well, if I have a sickness, if I have a disease, am I demon-possessed? Okay, I've heard that question before. Somebody actually told me this, that they've heard this lately, and that people that are disabled are demon-possessed. I want to tell you, that's absolutely untrue. That's absolutely untrue. Now, there can be a spiritual cause to sickness and disease. Okay, so let's look at what the Bible says about that. Remember, God's Word is our guide. It's not what I feel or what you feel. God's word is the authority for everything we do. So what should we believe about sickness? What does the Word of God say? Read with me in Luke chapter 13, verse 10. "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." It was a spirit of infirmity. "And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." This woman for 18 years had had a spirit of infirmity that had given her some kind of medical condition in her spine to where she could not stand up straight. And in this case, it does not say that Jesus healed her, but he loosed her from the spirit of infirmity. She was able to stand up. Can you imagine not being able to stand up straight for 18 years, and then all of a sudden you're loosed from that spiritual condition, and she's able to stand up? Amen. Her physical condition was due to a spiritual cause. The Bible says it was a spirit of infirmity. So there were real medical symptoms here, but it was a spiritual thing. So according to the Word of God, there can be a spiritual cause to sickness and disease. And so that answer of that question is yes, according to the Word of God, sometimes there are spiritual conditions that cause people to suffer with sickness. That doesn't mean that someone who is sick is demon-possessed, okay? Especially not for somebody that's filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to be clear about that. I try to always be clear about that. That's not possible. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're not possessed, okay? You may be under a spiritual attack. I've been under a spiritual attack, and that thing could be causing a physical condition. The woman with the issue of blood, she'd had it for 12 years. In her case, she didn't have a spirit of infirmity. The Lord just healed her. Okay? So when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, the Bible says she was healed of that plague. In that case, it was not a spiritual condition. It was just she needed healing. Whether it's a physical need like that or a spiritual need, it's not a big deal. When we pray for healing, we'll also pray against the spirit of infirmity. We'll just believe that God's going to take care of everything. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. We'll just do what Jesus did. If the problem is physical, Jesus can heal it. If it's a spiritual attack, Jesus can make a way. If somebody comes to me and says, Pastor, I've tried everything. We've prayed. We've done everything the doctors have said. I can't find the answer. And Pastor, do you think there might be a spirit of infirmity that's causing the sickness or the disease? God forbid that we wouldn't pray against a spiritual attack when God's given us power to do so. Amen? So whatever it is, it's not too hard for the Lord. Let's let God have his way. Let's allow the Lord to work. Praise the Lord. As I mentioned, I believe this is a place to be a place of healing and hope and help for those who are lost, for those that are hurting, for those that are broken. Amen. I believe that there are people that today they're searching for answers. They're scouring the internet. They're looking for books on what they're dealing with, and they're trying to find help for their condition. Amen. We just got to get connected with them. Lord, put us in the right place at the right time to talk about the hope that they can find in Jesus Christ. Amen. Many of you have had a divine healing. You know that God has healed you. You know that God has set you free from sickness and disease. Amen. And you can tell them. You can say, I know because he did it for me. I know because I watched it happen with my own eyes. I know because I've experienced the healing power of Jesus Christ. Our purpose needs to be the same as Jesus Christ. He said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So we want to help people however we can. Amen. We love souls. Amen. And we want them to have victory. But, you know, the enemy would love to get us off track and have confusion about this. Ultimately, the enemy does not want people to find healing. And so if he can try to get us distracted from the main issue, which is Jesus paid the price for our salvation and our healing, amen, I don't want to miss that. I want to be a church that does what the Bible teaches and experiences the same things that the New Testament church did. So God help us to have revival. Amen. Another question about what we should believe about sickness: should we go to doctors? Okay. Sometimes people get the feeling, well, if I go to the doctor, it means I don't have faith in the Lord. Okay. You know, that's a real issue. My thought is pray first, believe God for healing, but then take advantage of the resources God's blessed us with. So my family has doctors. We're thankful for them. We have a dentist. I'm thankful for the dentist. It's not my most favorite appointment to go to, but I'm thankful for a good dentist. And so in keeping with the rest of our teaching today, though, what does the Bible say about going to a doctor? First of all, there's nothing in the Bible that forbids us from going to see a doctor. Luke, who wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts, he was a doctor. Did you know that? There's many instances in the Bible that talk about the medical treatments that were available at that time, endorsing those treatments, both in the Old and New Testament. Matthew chapter 9, verse 12. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." So Jesus talked about doctors. He's referencing the help that doctors bring. The Apostle Paul once gave Timothy some advice. Let's read that tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. He said, "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities." Now that is a very well-read scripture by some that say, "I want to get drunk and the Bible tells me I can do it." No, no, they're ignorant. That's not what it says, okay? But it does sound like Timothy was dealing with some frequent sickness that was probably caused by a contaminated water supply, okay, which they had in those days. They didn't have a lot of good water. And so Paul tells him to use the medical treatment that they had in that day, which was to add wine to the water in order to help his stomach. So does that mean it's okay to get drunk? Of course not, okay? The Bible does not contradict itself. The word wine, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it means juice from the grape. Now, the longer that juice goes, the more fermented it gets. Okay? That's just science. That's just what happens. But if you study the culture of that day, they would take the juice of the grape and they would mix it with water in order to purify it. You can read about this in some of the books, I believe, like Homer and some of those. It even talks about it, how they would take like one part juice and three parts water. And that juice would purify the water supply. If the juice happened to become intoxicated or fermented, well, it was diluted so much that you wouldn't be getting drunk, but it would have the quality to purify the water supply. So Paul tells Timothy, use a medical treatment to help your stomach sickness. And in that day, it was adding some juice of the grape to the water. There's nothing wrong with the care of doctors. I'm thankful for doctors. And so, as I said, I think as a Christian, we should pray first, pray and believe for healing, but do what we can physically to stay healthy and receive treatment that we need. God's given us medical doctors, and I believe we should use them when they're needed. If you notice, Paul didn't say, "Hey, Timothy, I've been sending handkerchiefs to people and they got their healing. And so I'm going to be sending a handkerchief through the mail and God's going to heal your stomach." Now, could he have done that? Perhaps, if the Lord would have let him. But instead, Paul said, there's some things that you can do on your own that can help with physical conditions. I think it's a problem when we're like, I'm going to go eat junk, I'm going to drink Route 44s all day long and put all kinds of sugar in my body and then, Lord, I want you to heal me from all the conditions I brought on myself. Now, sometimes the Lord has grace and mercy on us, but sometimes he says, hey, sometimes you got to put down the donuts, you got to eat your vegetables and, you know, all those different things. Or maybe it's not vegetables, maybe it's the carnivore diet or, you know, whatever it is today. But sometimes God says, there's something you can do. You do everything you can do, and then I'll do the impossible if that's what it takes. Amen? Praise the Lord. It would be silly to have a car that's not working and not use a mechanic. Now, I have heard of people laying hands on their car and praying for the car to be healed. I've done it a few times. I don't know if I had the faith that those people had because it didn't work for me. But I have heard about it working. But if you lay hands on your car and you pray and you believe and it's still broke, go get you a mechanic and fix it. Okay? Kind of the same principle with a doctor. It's not our job to heal. It's our job to pray. It's our job to pray. So what if God doesn't heal me? A lot of times people have that. And so sometimes they don't even want to be prayed for because they're afraid they won't be healed. So it's not our job to heal. It's just our job to pray and to believe. It's God's job to heal. I've prayed for people and seen them healed. I've also prayed and seen people not healed. I don't always know exactly what's going on in that situation, but I'm not going to stop praying for healing because there's been too many of them that have said, the Lord touched me. God healed me. God changed something. Amen. If you've been believing God for healing and it hasn't happened yet, sometimes there's a testing of our faith. You keep believing. You keep believing. You start thanking God for it by faith. Every time you feel that pain in your body, I want you to say, thank you, Jesus, for healing this. Every time you think of that sickness, I want you to say, thank you, Lord. I know that you're working. I know that you're moving. Every time that you're overcome with the feeling of that depression or whatever it is, I want you to thank God by faith, Lord. I know you're bringing me through. I know you're making a way. I know that you're going to bring me out of this. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep believing. We're going to keep thanking God. We're going to keep expecting the supernatural to happen. God's power to heal is very real. I can remember at a young age being around the power of healing and experiencing it myself. I can remember having a lot of issues with my ears when I was little. And finally, after many doctor's visits, they scheduled me to get tubes put in my ears. And I know probably some here have had that procedure done. But the church prayed before I went in. And the problem was healed. With no more issues, thank the Lord. I've had kidney stones. Among other things. I'm just violating HIPAA right now, you know, and all that. But and God has supernaturally healed. A few months ago, I was in severe pain in my back. I had pulled something. I could barely stand. I could barely sit. It was miserable. And it was on a Sunday morning. During a Sunday worship service, I talked to Sister Malden and Brother Houck back here in this corner. And I said, hey, I just need you to, let's agree together for healing. I got to have some help. In a few minutes, there was no pain. There was no pain. The Lord touched. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's able to do it. I'm so thankful to have been blessed to pray with people, many people who have experienced what could not be explained by medical science. The only answer of what happened to them was it was a miracle from God. If you've not had that, you need to be sure that you're praying prayers to give God an opportunity to work and an opportunity to move. Because when you see it happen before your very eyes, when you experience it on your own, in your own body, it does something where you know that God is able to do absolutely anything. Praise the Lord. I've personally prayed for those who have cancer. And something changed in their body. The cancer was gone. Their blood was healed. The tumors were gone. They knew it had to have been God that moved. We've prayed for those who've had back trouble or knee trouble. We've asked God to do surgery on it, and they were healed. We've prayed for those who had kidney stones, and God has either let them pass or completely removed them, crushed them, I don't know, they were gone. I can remember going to a man's house in Texas where we pastored, and he was laying there very, very sick. He was dying from a life of drinking alcohol, and God miraculously turned things around. I can remember going to a hospital to pray for a little girl that was friends of some of our family and church family, and she had some kind of unknown infection. The doctors couldn't figure out what it was. She kept going down and down, and they were having a difficult time treating it. She was about to die. And after praying and rebuking that infection, I left, praising God for the healing, and later got news that something turned around, and she's alive today. And then we're thankful for what God has done. God is working. God is moving. God is able. His promises are real. His promises are real. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You need to take that promise and you just say, God, I stand on your word. I claim your word. I claim that promise that by your stripes we are healed. Lord, you paid the price for my healing, and I receive it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I'm closing, and then we're going to pray and just believe God to work and move in any need here tonight. But last week at the end of service, I felt to pray for healing, specifically for anyone who needed healing from cancer or thought they might have cancer. A few of you might be aware of this, and I asked her if it was okay to share this information. Liberty had received some reports that she had cancer somewhere in her body. The doctors had been doing tests and that seemed to show cancer. Then they did an MRI, which showed a tumor in her brain. Because she had previously dealt with some cancer, they were concerned that that's what it was. And if you'll show picture number one, here's a picture of the MRI of her brain. Now, when you see something like that, that worries you. She was worried, rightly so, I understand. Last week she came up for prayer, just 1 week ago. We covered everything we could think of, okay? I prayed for healing. I prayed against the spirit of cancer. I didn't know if it was physical or spiritual or what. I remember praying and cursing the spirit of cancer in Jesus' name. I commanded every cancer cell in her body to die. I've never prayed that exactly like that before. And I spoke healing to any organs that had been damaged. Well, this week, 1 week later, Liberty has an awesome testimony. Has an awesome testimony. She went in for another scan. The technician came in after a little while and said, are you there? Are you here for a brain tumor? She said, yes. And so the technician said, well, let me go do the test again. After a while, the tech came back, said, I don't know what's going on, but I can't do your scan. And Liberty said, well, what's happening and why? And she said, because there's nothing there. Can we look at the second picture? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Liberty told them about her church praying. And she said, well, God has healed me. The tech said, well, you know, that's a possibility, of course. But she said, tumors don't just go away like this. Are you sure? And she said, are you sure you had a brain tumor? Said, yes, the doctor showed me the MRI. The tech said, I'm not really sure what's happening. Liberty said, God healed me. God healed me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, I know there's probably some that'll be like, oh, I don't know about that, Pastor. Why is it so hard to rejoice and thank God with somebody? They would be rejoicing with you. They'd be praying with you. There's some people here tonight you've had long-standing sickness or disease. We've prayed before. I don't know exactly why the Lord hasn't healed. I don't know what he's doing behind the scenes. I don't know what kind of plan God's got. Some of these people in the Bible were dealing with stuff for 12 or 18 or 38 years. But in the plan of God, God said, I'm going to come to the earth and I'm going to robe myself in flesh and I'm going to go to the pool of Bethesda. Because I've prepared a man and I allowed this situation to come, but he's not going to die with it. He's going to have healing after 38 years. God works in mysterious ways, but it could very well be that on this night in September of 2024, God says, I've orchestrated everything and the timing is just right, and somebody's going to stand on the word of God and somebody's going to speak faith and pray the prayer of faith, and I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. Tonight we're just going to pray. If you need healing, we're just going to speak a word of faith and ask God to heal. If you want specific prayer, you can come, but we're just going to pray over everyone. Is that okay? God knows every situation. He knows every sickness. He knows every disease. If there's cancer, I'm just going to say every cell of cancer, every cancerous cell, I command you to die. We're just going to take authority over it. Amen. And then we're going to speak healing to our body. God knows the situation. And so let's just receive it by faith tonight. Would you pray with me? Lord, you're able. There is nothing too hard for you to do. In Jesus' name, we stand upon your word. We declare your promises, Lord. For by your stripes we are healed. In the name of Jesus, we speak healing to every life, every situation, every condition in this house. We speak healing to everybody in Jesus' name. We command every sickness to go. We command the sickness to go. We speak healing. We speak life in Jesus' name. Lord, there's nothing too hard for you to do. And we ask that you would do it in this house, Lord, for your glory, for your praise, for your honor in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I rebuke every cancer in this place. I command every cancerous cell to die, to be expelled from the body. I speak healing to any organ that has been damaged. We speak life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We curse the spirit of cancer. It must go. Be gone in Jesus' name.